Hello, everyone, and welcome back to this week's episode of Open Soliloquy. Please grab your coffee. I've got mine. Grab your tea, whatever you need. And honestly, let's just dive right in. Like, it feels so good to be back, and I'm so excited to be recording again. I do want to first start off with apologizing for just being gone for so long and for just allowing life to get in the way of something that brings me so much joy. I feel like this is so therapeutic for me, and being able to let all of this out and communicate with all of you probably would have made a lot of the things that I've been going through recently a lot better. And so why I decided to not reach out to y'all, I have no idea, but let's just say I'm very glad to be back, and it's not happening again, or at least for not as long as it did. This year already has been an absolute roller coaster, but I've grown so much, and I wouldn't change anything for the world because I know that in the end, it's shaping me to be the person that I want to become. And so I just take all of these challenges and all these trials as, you know, a stamp to put in my book of getting to that next level. So I'm grateful for them, even though it's been rough. I'm not gonna lie. I've gone through a lot of things recently that could have made me become such a negative person, but instead I tried to always look at the bright side of every situation and truly use it as fuel to help me become my best self. I know that I was previously doing this whole letting go series, but I feel like for this episode, I just want to chit-chat, catch up, and just let you guys in on where I've been and what's going on in my life. I finally moved. I live in an apartment complex with one of my best friends, so I love that, and I love the area I'm in just because I'm so close to all of my friends. I do still live in Dallas, though. I don't really see myself ever living somewhere else, at least not for like the next 5 years. Honestly, just getting into the complex, though, that was a whole process, and there was so much back and forth, and I was traveling during that time, and there was just a lot of miscommunication, but luckily I was able to get in, got everything moved, got an extra free month, so that's great. But yeah, it was actually a very wild process. So originally I was speaking with someone that I thought worked in the office, but I guess she just works remote from home, which is very interesting. But anyway, I thought I signed the papers, and I never actually got to tour because I think I was on a different trip. Maybe this was the cheerleading worlds for last year. I'm not quite sure. I think that's what it was, though. So I was set to move in, and I came to the front office to get my keys. And I normally don't use money orders, but for some reason, this is what they needed. So I had that, went in, spoke to someone, gave them the money order, and then she was like, "Did you see that you need another money order?" And I was just like, "What do you mean? Like, you said I needed to pay this amount, so I brought this amount." Mind you, at this point, it's like 4 p.m. and they close at 6, which I guess is nice because I had an hour more than like normal. I feel like normally they close at like 5. So I was like, okay, like, I'm not gonna fight you on this money order. So then I went to go get another one, and I think I went to 4 different locations to get this money order, and I was stressing out. I was like, I have to be back at 6. None of the money order places were open, and luckily I went to like a check cashing place, and they had one, and so I got it, came back like with 10 minutes to spare, like right before the deadline. And that wasn't an option. Like, I had to go get that second one or else she wasn't giving me my keys. And at this point, I was ready to just get in there and see what this place looked like because I had yet to see the apartment in person. So then I got my keys, I went up to the apartment and I couldn't open the door. And this just turned out to be a me problem, but I went back down, let them know the issue with the key. Apparently with that unit, you couldn't stick the key all the way in. It had to be like 2/3 of the way in, which I don't know, but whatever. So I came back down, let her know the key situation. She had someone else go up there and try to figure that out. And while that was happening, she was like, "Hey, Brittany, I just realized you never actually signed your lease." And I was like, "What? Like, what do you mean I didn't sign my lease?" So then I'm sitting there filling out the application, like signing all the paperwork. And then the lady comes back with the key and she was like, "No, yeah, the keys are fine. Like, you just can't stick it in all the way." And I was like, "Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry." But luckily I came back because my lease wasn't signed. And I feel like that should have been red flag number 2 at this point. But you live and you learn. So then I finished signing everything and went upstairs. And this should have been it for me. Like, this is when everything just like flipped upside down and I was like, "What is going on?" So I walk into this apartment and it is absolutely terrible. Like, the condition of this unit is so poor. Like, I don't think anybody had been in there in months, maybe even longer. Like, it looked like no one had cleaned it and no one had set it up to be rented. Like, and I'm not even someone that's like super picky. Like, yes, I'm very like OCD and about cleaning and things, but like, it was like the condition of the actual building. And like y'all know that paper that you have to fill out and you have 48 hours to turn it back in about any damages or the condition of the unit? Well, that thing was filled out front to back, and I think I took like over 120 pictures of like all of the damages and cracks in the walls, and like, just, it was so bad. And at this point I'm like trying not to cry because I just felt so dirty in that apartment. And I'm very much someone that is very affected by the surroundings that I'm in. So like, that's why my home is always super duper clean, because I literally feel like I can't be productive or can't be in like a happy headspace if my area isn't clean. So yeah, at this point I'm just trying not to freak out and cry, because I'm like, I literally just signed the lease for this place. Like, had I seen it, I wouldn't have signed that, and I would have just taken my keys and went home and kept looking, even though my move-in date was getting closer and closer. Like, I was getting so stressed out by that. But at this point, the front office was already closed. And this was way past that 6 o'clock mark. I think I spent 2 hours in that apartment just, like, taking pictures and writing down every little thing that was wrong with that unit, because there was so much. So then I came back the next day and just let them know about that unit, and I was just like, I don't feel comfortable moving in. And I gave them the paper, and they were very surprised to see how much was written on there. And then I showed them the pictures and they were just like, "Wow, like, can you please email me these pictures, because this is not good." And I was like, "Yeah, it's not good at all." And mind you, I'm supposed to have a free month at this point, but obviously I can't move in because they needed to do a lot of repairs. And so they were like, "We can definitely have them go in and fix everything that you've put on this list." And I was like, honestly, that works out perfect, because I'm about to go to Tennessee with my family, and like, by the time I get back, everything should be good and should be ready for me to move in. And they had agreed. So we go to Tennessee. I actually have a funny story about that. I'll bring it up later. But I come back and the apartment is a mess. I go in there and it literally has not been touched at all. And so I'm like trying not to freak out because I'm like, what is going on? And apparently they had been emailing me, which I don't know. They said they didn't have my phone number or I didn't have a voicemail set up so they couldn't leave me a message, which I was like, that's not true because you can still leave me voicemails. I get them all the time, but I should set that up. Actually, I will do that once I'm done with this podcast. But they ended up offering me a different unit, which I almost lived in the unit across from my best friend, which would have been like friends. But they ended up giving me an apartment that was right by the front office, and it was their display apartment. So it was the apartment that they showed everyone when people were coming to tour and look at units. Like, this was the show room. And I was like, perfect. I love it. Let's do that. So then it ended up being less on the rent, which is great. They gave me another month for free, and then yeah, I was able to move in, and I love how close it is to the elevators. Like, it's just so much more accessible. The other one was far, and it was on the quiet side of the complex, which is fine, but, like, I just like being by the front. So, yeah. Everything in the end ended up being great. I absolutely love this apartment. It did take some adjusting to get used to because it is a little bit smaller than the one I lived in before, and like the color scheme is different, but I do like it and I can see myself really enjoying this space. Okay, so jumping into Tennessee, that trip was so fun and it was honestly so beautiful. Like, being able to be on a road trip with both of my sisters and my brother-in-law, it was so fun, and I'm definitely someone that loves a good road trip. Like, I could drive forever, and quite literally did. I drove I think it was 13 hours, something like that, but I drove all the way there and all the way back. Like, I love road trips, and I could just drive forever. So we got there, and it was the cutest little bear cabin ever. Like, I wish we spent more time there because it was so fun and the scenic visuals were just so beautiful, and just waking up there every day was so beautiful, and I was just so grateful because it was so calming and so peaceful and so serene, and I loved it. The first night, though, was pretty wild because my dad was supposed to meet us there, but he had been feeling sick, and so he was going to meet us later. And that first night was wild. We were in this super small town, and mind you, because we're in the mountains, like, when it gets dark outside, it is pitch black, and you can't see anything. So that just made everything a little spooky. And then there were three levels to this cabin, and for the two levels that had back doors, they didn't actually have locks on the door. It was just like the door shut, and then there was like a little hook and a loop. So you just put the hook in the loop, and that was the lock. Like, the door could still push open, and that was sketchy to us because anyone could technically get in or out of this cabin, but it ended up being a great time. But that did make us very nervous on the first night. So everything started out great. We had went to the Nike outlet store. We went to go eat dinner at this Mexican restaurant, which was so good. And then we decided to go to the grocery store just to get, like, coffee and, like, breakfasty things for in the morning because we wanted to cook. And everything was fine, but my dad was like, make sure y'all get home before it gets dark, because he didn't want us to deal with driving in the mountains when it was pitch black, which completely understand now looking back. But of course, as per usual, we were running behind, and so it was, in fact, pitch black outside. By the time we got done at the grocery store. So my sister's checking out, and then I guess one of the cashiers like gave her a discount because she was like, oh, we gave y'all the tourist discount. And my sister was just like, okay, thank you. But the way that she delivered that message was kind of sketchy. Like, the way she said it was eerie. And so we were just like, okay, thank you. And then we went on our way. So we're loading up the car. We get in the car. I'm like on one. So I'm like, guys, let me play you this song. Like, it was Piano Man by Billy Joel. And I'm just like, doesn't this make y'all want to go to a pub? And so we're playing it so loud. We're having a good time. And then all of a sudden, I'm driving. We pull out of the grocery store. Like, literally, I just turned onto the main road. Immediately, a cop out of nowhere. Like, my older sister said he was just sitting in the lot across from us. And he just comes out of nowhere and gets right behind me and just is following me. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Because I literally have yet to do anything wrong. Like, I'm not speeding. I literally just pulled out onto the street. And so I'm like paranoid now. You know, it's like that thing when you're like, I'm not doing anything wrong, but like maybe I am doing something wrong. Like, you just get so worried and you think about everything that you're doing times 10 because you don't want to get pulled over. So I'm driving, and then all of a sudden, like, two more cars start following us. And I'm like, what is going on? Like, this is so sketchy. This is so scary. So then I turn into the street where it's like, okay, you're now entering the mountains. Like, there are so many roads and pathways because, you know, it's a mountain. And so I turn in, and then the cop is behind me, and then the two other cars are behind. And the speed limit is very slow here, so that was making it sketchy too. So then we're going up the mountain, like, we're making turns and things, and all three cars are still following us. So I'm like, I don't know what to do. Everyone's freaking out in the car. My sister is like, don't let them go to the cabin. Like, don't let them know where we live because this is sketchy. Like, it's almost as if they had been watching us since we got out of the grocery store. So I'm like, okay, so like I'm purposely making wrong turns so they don't know where we're staying. And I'm like, this is so nerve-wracking, but it's also exciting because it's like fun. But it was very scary. So we're going, and then maybe about halfway up the mountain, because we're staying at the very top. So like halfway up this mountain, the cop pulls off. And so I'm like, okay, we're fine. But then right after the cop pulled off, the two other cars pulled right up and just kept following. So I'm like, what is going on? I'm like, are these two cars friends with this cop? Like, what is actually happening right now? So then the car behind us decided to split off in the other direction. And I was freaking out because I'm like, okay, what if they're both looping around and they're going to meet us in the front? Because I was scared that they were all in communication with each other, because then the third car pulled up behind us and kept following us. And so I was like, what if the cop and the other car are like circling around to essentially like trap us? And I was like, this is not good. So then I turned into someone's driveway, which is also very scary because we're in the mountains. Like, someone could have just run outside with like a gun or something and been like, get off of my lawn sort of thing. So I'm like freaking out, trying to like back out of this narrow driveway. And then we lost the car that was behind us. So I was like, okay, I think we're good to go back to the cabin now. So then we go back, and obviously that whole situation was so sketchy and so scary, and we really don't know what was going on or if they even knew each other. But it was just weird that we got followed as soon as we came out of the grocery store. So then we're all in the cabin and we're like freaking out because technically those two doors don't lock. And so we're just like, we don't know if they knew where we were staying. Like, we don't know anything. We're in a new town. Our dad isn't here. Like, what do we do kind of thing. So we are really contemplating like going and staying at a hotel and like staying in the city part until our dad got there. But it was just funny because we all ended. I'm laughing because there was a bunk bed on the first floor on the bottom level. And there was a room down there that had two queen sized beds, like, but they were bunk beds. And I just think it's so funny because all four of us slept in that room. So I just think, like, my little sister and her husband are sleeping on the top bunk. And then me and my older sister are sleeping on the bottom bunk because we were all literally so terrified. And, like, while that whole adventure was so scary, I think that is one of the funniest things that's ever happened to us. And, like, the fact that we're all, like, in our 20s and we're sleeping in this queen size bunk bed is so funny to me. And that is just a memory that I will forever cherish because that was so silly. But we were like freaking out, and it was like way past midnight at this point of us like trying to figure out if we were gonna stay or not. But the rest of the trip ended up being so nice and so beautiful. I will say, though, that is when we noticed that my dad was, like, really sick, and we never really see him sick because he just isn't someone that gets sick. Kind of like me, like, I'm not really someone that gets sick all that often, and he had COVID and the flu, but at this point, he didn't know that he had COVID. I think he thought it was just the flu, something like that, but he was so out of breath. Like, I felt so bad because we would go into the town because they had a cute little downtown area, and we would be, you know, doing all the touristy things, walking around, just doing the tourist things. And my dad, like, couldn't even walk, like, up the stairs, like, without getting out of breath. Like, he was exhausted, and I felt so bad. That's definitely when we realized, like, something wasn't right. So then we spent the rest of that trip there, had such a great time, went home, everything was fine. So then almost 2 months later, my dad is still sick, and we get notice that he's at the hospital. And we're like, what is going on? So apparently he had a mild heart attack, and he had been in the ICU for like a week. And they weren't like telling him anything specific that was going on. And so we were starting to get worried. Then our uncle let us know, like, hey, if there's any way that y'all can come see your dad, like, y'all need to come because it's, and he was like crying on the phone, and he was like, it's not looking good at all. And so obviously we're freaking out because we're like, dad might go, like, we don't know what's going on, but we knew that we needed to get there. And I think obviously it was God, but somehow all of my siblings ended up being in town, and we were all able to get on a family FaceTime call and just make the decision, like, hey, we're going to Virginia, like, we need to go right now. And we did that, and I'm just so grateful that all of my siblings were able to, like, get off and, like, we had that time together, because genuinely that trip made our bond so much stronger. And not that, like, there was any beef with any of us or, like, any of us didn't like each other. It was just like this podcast, like, we allowed life to get in the way, and we just didn't make each other a priority like we should have been. And so this trip did bring us together. And so for that, I'm very grateful. My mom even ended up going too, and she's no longer married to my dad. Like, they were together for like 20 years. But she's now remarried, and she was able to go, and I think that made it that much more special, because growing up, we used to go on a lot of road trips because my dad does demolition, and so he would constantly be traveling for his job, and we would go and see him, and we would be traveling, doing road trips together as a family, and so that was fun and, like, nostalgic, and we're now gonna do more family road trips because we realize just how much we love and enjoy them. And so I'm very excited for that in the future. But getting back to my dad, I have never seen him sick, really, but especially to that level. That was very intense and very hard to see. And like, just seeing him break down and cry and like not really be able to talk because he had something in his throat. And it was just, it was hard to see, especially when you idolize your parents as children. Like, you think they're superheroes and they're just like the smartest, most wisest. Like, you just put them on such a high pedestal, and then seeing them like humanized in that way, it definitely shifts your perspective, and it hits hard. And the way the doctors were explaining things and the nurses, like, it just, they made it seem like there might not be hope. And so like, it was a very hard place to be in because we were very much trying to like lift my dad's spirits, and like we were bringing him games and like little things just to like try to make him excited and like let him know that everything was gonna be okay. But also at the same time, we were very much scared and we didn't know what was gonna happen. And so that was a hard position to be in. Luckily though, my dad was able to get his catheter out, and we got word that he is going to be out of the hospital very soon. Obviously the road that he's about to be on is going to take a long time, because it's, you know, it was his heart, and so it's gonna change the way that he lives his life. Like, he has to change how he eats, and everything is gonna have to shift because obviously your heart is so important. And yeah, he definitely has a long road ahead of him, but I'm just glad that he was able to get out of there and that he's able to be back home. Okay, so you'll know when you meet someone and you just know that they're going to have an effect on your life, and like, you don't know what the significance of that relationship is going to be. You don't know what part they're going to play in your life, but you just know that for some reason you have a connection with this person that you know is going to be strong. Well, that's how I felt about this one guy that I said I wasn't going to go back to, and I genuinely tried my hardest, but like, I would pray about this guy, and I just felt like we were going to play significant roles in each other's lives. And so I would give him chances and justify a lot of things because I knew the gravity of our relationship. Like, I knew we were important to each other and that we were gonna have a big impact on each other's lives. And so I got back into connection with this guy, and it's kind of wild how mirrored our lives are. We ended up moving almost at the same time. He moved like a week later than me, and turns out our apartment units are the same number. Like, we live in different complexes, but I just thought that was interesting that we both got the same unit. And like, he wasn't even gonna live in that apartment complex at first. He was gonna live in a different one. And y'all know now, I was gonna live in a different unit. And then I got switched over to this new unit because that other one was just in such bad condition. So I thought that was interesting. And then he was telling me that he was gonna go home to Ohio to see his family. And around that same time is when I got noticed that we were gonna go to Virginia. And I'm sorry, but I did not take geography in high school. Like, I was the first class that it wasn't required for, and so I didn't take that. And when I looked on the map of where Ohio and Virginia were, I was like, wow, because they were like, obviously they're different states, and like, they're, it's a drive to get to and from, but like, they were in the same area of the United States. And I was just like, wow, that's crazy, like, we weren't even that far from each other. But yeah, we recently just came to the decision that like, he needs time to heal and time to process. And I didn't want to jump into anything if it wasn't him being completely healed and completely ready to dive into anything deeper, because I knew the gravity and I knew how important this would be to me. And so I didn't want to half try anything. So I'm like, I would rather wait for you to figure out everything and just like heal and be the best version of yourself than to jump in and just not get that. And he agreed, like, he didn't want to hurt me and he didn't want me to suffer because he's not at his best place right now. And I totally respect that and appreciate that. And so that's what we decided to do. But before we had reached back out, y'all, I had went on my first date ever. Like, that is not something that I do. I don't even really have dating apps. Like, I definitely don't now, but I downloaded it at the time because I just wanted to try something different. And I was like, maybe I'm not going to meet my person in person, even though I always thought I was. Like, I always thought I would meet my person in person. But I was like, whatever, let's just give this a try. So I downloaded Hinge and started talking to this guy. And he was, like, cute. I don't know. And he wanted to take me out. And obviously, I'm not giving you his name, but he was a aerospace engineer. And I was very nervous because, once again, I had never been on a date before. So I was freaking out, especially like a blind date. Like, we had been talking on Hinge and like the conversation was good, but I was just nervous because I'm very anxious and I can make conversations get really awkward really fast. Especially if I'm like just not vibing with you, then the conversation just isn't gonna be there because I have a hard time faking. Like, I just can't do it. You can read it on my face when I'm uncomfortable. And so we went to a rooftop bar and we were there for like 3 hours. Like, the conversation went so well and I was nervous because I was like, what would we have in common? But we actually had a lot in common and it was so fun and so nice to just talk to someone without the pressure of expecting anything to come from it. Like, it was nice just to connect with another person and just genuinely hang out and enjoy each other's company. And I don't know, we talked about books and because we both like to read, and we talked about F1 and hockey and our families, and it was just so genuinely fun. Like, we both genuinely had such a good time. But in the end, we both came to the decision that like this was something that was more platonic, and like even just sitting there, I couldn't imagine like making out with him or kissing him. And obviously, like, that is a big component of like a relationship. It's definitely not everything, but that physical is important as well. And so yeah, that was definitely like the best first date I could have ever gone on because I was just so comfortable and it was so nice. Like, it, like, we genuinely both had a good time. We just knew that nothing was gonna come from that. Since then, though, I have deleted Hinge. Like, I just don't think that that is my journey. Like, I think I'm gonna meet my person organically, like, in person. And so I just didn't want to have that on my phone anymore. But also, like, I just feel like when that time comes, like, God is just going to send my person my way. Like, finding a man is not my job and that's not my role. I think God already knows who my person is and he will give them to me when we are both ready to be there for each other. And I think that possibly is why I'm so stuck on this other person. Not stuck, because it's not like I'm not willing to put myself out there and like meet new people and connect with other people. It's just that I feel like maybe he could be my person. And so at this point, I'm just diving inwards and I'm focusing very much on myself and my career and just trying to be the best version of myself, because if I expect that from my partner, like, I better be able to bring that to the table. So I think it's wrong to ask someone to bring something that I'm not bringing myself. And so that's definitely what I'm spending this time focusing on, is just becoming the best version of myself and making my dreams come true on my own. So yeah, this episode has definitely been a lot and it's been all over the place, but I really hope you guys enjoyed just like getting to catch up with me and seeing where I am currently. And yeah, I just wanted to let y'all know, like, I am sorry that I took such a long break, and hopefully I won't have to do that again, and I will make it a point to record every week, even if I don't think it's worthy of, like, being posted. I at least want to make the effort of getting it done, because there's no better feeling than, like, saying you're going to do something and actually doing it and feeling accomplished. And so that's definitely something I'm going to focus on and making sure that I get more content out for you guys. As always, thank you so much for listening to me. I just want you all to know that I see you, I value you, and I appreciate you. And in the life where we constantly have the choice, I hope you choose to be happy, grateful, and kind. As always, I love you all. Take care and go live the beautiful life you are meant to. Bye, y'all.